Amen. I think this morning's message will probably pinpoint my biggest problem in the Christian life. It could well pinpoint, likewise, your biggest problem in the Christian life. It is early in the morning. They have fished all night, and they've caught nothing. If you've ever fished all night and caught nothing, you know exactly how they felt. There's no more miserable, wretched feeling in the world than to fish all night. Years ago, when I had a small church in Texas, the deacons went on an all-night fishing trip. I mean, we had about 15 of us on the trip. We all fished with a different, each of us had a pole. And none of us caught a single fish all night long. The deacon chairman got so mad when he pulled his pole out of the water, he pulled it over his shoulder, and we were walking back to the car, and somebody said, "You got a fish on your pole." And that was the only fish all night long. He didn't know he caught it. And it was a big one, weighed, nearly half a pound. But they had fished all night and it caught nothing. And there is nothing. There's no. You just watch a cork all night long and it never even bobbles. You even get excited if you get your hook hooked on a limb of a tree or something in the water. But all night long they'd fished, they'd caught nothing. Jesus is on the shore, but they did not know who he was. He hollered out to them and said, "Have you any meat?" And they said, "Dirty bric-a-brac, a pack of lama, blotcha, blotcha, slattery." No. That's Hebrew that means words that you would not want me to say. But anyway, they said no. He said, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship." And they cast their net on the right side of the ship, and multitudes of fish entered the net. And Peter said, "It's the Lord." How did Peter know it was the Lord? Jesus was in his glorified body. I tell you how Peter knew it was the Lord, because Peter said 3 years ago, that same thing happened. I remember we were fishing about 3 years ago, before I got saved. And Jesus came by, and he said, "Cast your net over here," and we did, and a multitude of fish. Don't ever forget the place you got saved, people. Peter said, "I remember that, I remember that." Oh, don't forget the place where you came to Christ and the day. So they had this big net full of fish now, and they saw Jesus cooking fish on the shore. And Jesus said, "Bring them, bring the fish." And they brought 153 fish to Jesus, and they had breakfast. Now, here's the message. Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" Do you ever wonder what he meant by the words "than these"? Lovest thou me more than these? We've preached and you've read and you've heard sermons and talks and devotions on the, and Jesus said to Peter, "Lovest thou me?" I mentioned it last Sunday morning, I think. "Lovest thou me?" And the word love there is the word agape, the deep abiding love. And Peter said, "Lord, thou knowest I am phileo." That's the word for fondness or like. Jesus said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" Peter said, "Thou knowest that I like thee." Jesus said, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And Peter said, "Thou knowest that I like thee." And Jesus said, "Lovest thou me?" And Peter said, "Thou knowest that I like thee." But when he said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" May I call your attention to this? And this is, the sermon I'm going to preach this morning is probably the truth that fundamental Baptists need as much as any other truth anywhere in all the Bible. "Lovest thou me more than these?" Let me ask you a question. Anybody here ever go fishing? Anybody, would you consider yourself a pretty regular fisherman, or you ever have been one? Raise your hand. Way up high, way up high. All right. How many of you have ever been fishing? Raise your hand way up high. May I ask you a question? If you had just caught 153 fish, and somebody said, "Lovest thou me more than these," what would be on your mind at that time? 153 fish. I'd be counting them and scaling them all at the same time. And Jesus said, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" Oh, I've heard theologians say, he was saying, "Lovest thou me more than you love the other disciples?" Oh, he wasn't saying that. When 153 fish in the net, he wasn't thinking about his buddies. He was thinking about 153 fish. What was Jesus saying? He was asking Peter, do you love me more than the miracle I just performed? Peter said, it's the Lord. And there's 153 fish. And Peter had them in his net. And Jesus, he was looking at him, and no doubt, and was rejoicing in the miracle. And Jesus said, Peter, that's a wonderful miracle. But lovest thou me more than these fish? Now somebody said, he was talking about Peter, you came from the fishing business. You love me more than the old fishing business. You're just about to go back. I don't think he meant that at all. I think Jesus was saying, I just performed a miracle. Now, which you going to love the most, the miracle or the miracle worker? Lovest thou me more than these? You know, if I had a title for my sermon this morning, I'd call it Competitors for Spiritual People. Competitors for Spiritual People. The competitors that Christ has for our affection and our love. For example, did you know it's so easy for answered prayer to become more wonderful to us than the answerer of the prayer? I guess the first real miracle I had, maybe the second, but maybe in our early days, one that seemed to me to be one of the greatest miracles I had. Mrs. Howes and I had gone to East Texas Baptist College, and we didn't have a car. In fact, we didn't have a car for the first 3 years we were married. And she had to walk to the store to shop. You say, why didn't you walk to the store to shop? Well, it's a mile there. It's too long a walk. And we didn't have a car. Well, a church had contacted me, a little bit of church up in the country, the one I've told you about, Morris Chapel Baptist Church, the one where had one deacon, he wore overalls and so forth. And nobody had an outhouse, only one family had an outhouse, nobody had an in-house. And they had in-houses, but no in-houses, and that was a funny one. But that church had contacted us, and they didn't have a pastor, and we had been driven up there by Mel and Dottie Rutter. They were pastoring or preaching up in that area. They drove us up there and preached the first Sunday, and they called us to pastor, but we didn't have a car. Well, good night, it was 100 miles away from the apartment where we lived, and we had to have a car. And so Mel Rutter and I went up on the top floor of the educational building at the First Baptist Church of Marshall, Texas, and on the fire escape. And we were prayer partners. He was in college with me, and we were prayer partners. And we went up there on the top floor, and I said, Brother Mel, would you join me in prayer for God to give me a car? The churches call me 100 miles away. I've got to drive up every week. We live here in Marshall, going to college, but I've got to drive every week. Would you pray for God to give me a car? Join me in prayer for God to give me a car. Well, we had regular seasons of prayer for God to give me a car. And after a while, I decided to go home and get the car. I didn't know where I was going to get it, but I decided to go home and get the car. Home was Dallas, about 150 miles away. So I bought I had $7 in my pocket. That's all I had in the entire world, $7 in my pocket. And it cost exactly $7 to buy 2 one-way bus tickets to Dallas from Marshall. So I went down and bought 2 one-way tickets. You say, why didn't you buy a round trip? Two reasons. One, didn't have enough money. And second, I planned to drive a car back. I didn't know where I was going to get the car. I just knew God was going to get me a car. You know, it's wonderful to be young and not haven't seen it all and not suave. And yeah, I saw that before. It's a wonderful thing to just be flat busted and believe God's going to take care of you. And you get old and you get worried about am I going to qualify for Social Security? And I was thinking really about these knotheads that go to Hiles Anderson College. I mean, these guys, 25 and 30 years old, they haven't got a thing to look for. It's going to be 32 years before they can get Social Security. Man, if I have trouble, I can get it right now. I mean, I qualify right now. You understand that, don't you? Don't mess with me. You fire me. I'll just have Uncle Sam feed me the rest of my life. But it's a wonderful thing. Those exciting days when you believe God. You know what I mean? There's something about the ignorant faith of a young man, especially a young preacher. And so we got 2 tickets, got on the bus in Marshall, Texas, didn't have one dime, not one red cent. And got home at the bus station, and went out to my mother's house, and bear in mind, I've been praying for God to give me a car. Went to Dallas to get the car. You won't believe this, but I walked up to the door, and the door was open. It was summertime, and the door was open, and you could hear through the screen, and my mother was talking on the phone, and she said, "Yes, Rupert, that's my rich uncle's son." Rich Uncles and in fact, they're both dead now. But Mother said, "Yes, Rupert. Yes, this is Costell." She said, "Rupert, you what? You want to talk to Jack?" She said, "Rupert, Jack is down in Marshall, Texas. He's in college down there." And she said, "I don't know how you can get a hold of them. They don't have a telephone there where they are." And she said, "What? You have a what you want to give to Jack?" By the way, Rupert and I were not close. My uncle and I had been close, but not Rupert and I. In fact, Rupert didn't like me a great deal, and I wasn't too far. But anyway, mother was saying, "Rupert, you have a what? You have a car, a 1941 Dodge that you want to give to Jack?" I almost believed in God. And she said, "Well, Rupert, I don't know how to get a hold of him." Said, "He's 150 miles away." I said, "Mama, tell him I'll take it." And we drove that 1941 Dodge. That's 1947, and it's 1941 Dodge. That's the prettiest car I ever saw in my life. My soul, my soul. And you wouldn't believe it. We'd never had a car of our own before. I'd never owned a car. Oh, when I was a kid, I'd put one together and we pushed it around the town, but I mean, this car was a real car. It had tires on it. I mean, it had an engine. It would run. And man, I can't tell you how pretty that thing was. Man, we drove that thing and showed all of our friends. Well, we didn't have any friends, but we showed both of our friends, Bill and Dorothy Rutter, and we took them for a drive in that car. My soul, what a car. And that night, I couldn't sleep. I was excited about the car. And something hit me. You know what it was? "Lovest thou me more than these?" And I said, I hadn't thought about the giver. I was so wrapped up in the gift, I'd forgotten the giver. I was so much in ecstasy because of the miracle, I'd forgotten the miracle worker. I got out of bed, put on my clothes, didn't even drive the car. Walked a mile up to the First Baptist Church of Marshall in wee hours of the morning. And I walked up the fire escape to the top floor. Didn't even drive the car because I didn't want the car. I didn't want to enjoy the car going down there. I got up on the top of the fire escape and I said, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I've forgotten the giver." Jesus said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" I gave you the car. Lovest thou me more than the car? Peter, I gave you 153 fish here, and you fished all night and caught nothing. Lovest thou me more than these? You know, it is so possible for us to put answered prayer above the prayer answerer. Well, bless God. Well, hallelujah. I got it. I got it. I got it. Oh, let me tell you something, brethren. I got it. I got him. I got him. There's a second competitor for your affection that Jesus has. That is not only answered prayer, but usefulness. Usefulness. I guess when you get my age, that word means more to you than it ever meant in your life. Useful. I just want to stay useful for God. That's all. I want to stay strong enough to serve Him. I want to stay well enough to serve Him. I want to stay alert enough to serve Him. I just want God to use me. I mean this. I have no other goal in life. None. None. I have no goal for retirement. Not at all. Somebody said the other day, "Why don't you just take off for about a week and relax?" I said, "I'm relaxed now. I'm not nervous." Well, they said, why don't you just take off and do something that you'd rather do than anything in the whole world?" I said, "That's what I'm doing right now. I'm preaching." "Yeah, you're nervous, but I'm not nervous." Old Dr. Bob used to say, to Dr. John Rice, heard him say many times, old Dr. Bob Sr., he said, "Dr. John, we don't have ulcers, do we? We give them." I want to be useful. And if I don't watch it, I'll go back to my room after a great service and I'll say, "Thank God He used me again tonight." I remember the first great revival meeting I ever had. I used to preach a lot of revivals years ago. I was a young man, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25 years old. I'd drive at night, preach a revival, drive back during the night. And then I'd, the next night, drive back to the same spot and preach maybe for a week or two, the same place, sometimes under a tent, sometimes under an old-fashioned brush arbor, sometimes in a little country church building, but I'd drive every night almost and preach somewhere. And the first real great revival that I ever had in my life. Now, I've had a lot of revivals where a lot of folks got saved. I mean, the first revival where God broke through and everybody in town knew that God had worked. Now, I had, before that revival, I had stayed on my knees and I had prayed at the altar of the church and begged God to give us revival. I don't mean for 5 minutes. The other night I preached on the fullness of the Holy Spirit on a Monday night. And on Tuesday night, a young man came to me, about 17 years old. He said, "Brother House, I've always wanted to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit." Said, "You preached about last night." And said, "Last night I stayed at the altar and prayed for an hour and a half and got it." I didn't tell him he was an idiot. You don't get the power of God in an hour and a half. You don't get old-fashioned revival in an hour and a half. You bathe your life in prayer. And I'd prayed for days and days on my face at the altar, "Oh God, give us a real old-fashioned revival." And God did. He an outpouring came, and we had a wonderful, wonderful revival meeting. The last night, after it's over, we went out to eat. Isn't that amazing? Went out to a restaurant to eat. We were having the biggest time. And we were talking about what a good revival was. And we must have had 100 people saved. And back in those days in the country church, that was something else. And we'd had a great, great move of God. And we were talking, and we were laughing in the restaurant in what we call fellowship. We were fellowshipping and laughing in the restaurant. Oh, boy. And we'd tell them a bunch of funny stories. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, where was I? 2 weeks ago tonight. 2 weeks ago tonight, I was on my face begging God for revival. And God looked down at me in that restaurant while we were having a big time eating, and God said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" You see, he wasn't saying, "Lovest thou me more than liquor?" He wasn't asking, "Lovest thou me more than wine? Lovest thou me more than movies? Lovest thou me more than dope? Lovest thou me more than cursing? Lovest thou me more than nightclubs? Lovest thou me more than country clubs?" He was saying, "Lovest thou me more than what I gave you?" Spiritual blessings and usefulness. Jesus said, "Peter, you love me more than you love these fish. I'm the one that gave you these fish. I'm the miracle worker. Peter, if you love these fish more, they'll be rotten or eaten in just a matter of a few hours. But if you love me more, I can give you more fish anytime you want them. I mean, you better love the Aladdin's lamp, not what you got from it." And Jesus is saying, "Lovest thou me more than these?" And I jumped up and I said to those folks in that restaurant, "This isn't right. This is not right." I said, "We should not be here having a big time telling a bunch of funny stories and laughing at the end of this campaign. We ought to go right back where we were 2 weeks ago tonight and get on our knees at the altar and thank God for what he gave us. And we ought to love him as much tonight as we loved him 2 weeks ago tonight." And we got up and left our food right there. And by the way, I forgot to pay the bill too. I went back the next day and paid the bill. God convicted me while I was praying. But anyway, forgot to pay the bill. Got up. I said to the folks around the table, I said, "Follow me." And they followed me. We went right back to the altar of Grange Hall Baptist Church and got on our faces before God and said, "God, we're sorry. We begged you 2 weeks ago to give us this great revival, and you gave it to us, and now that it's over, we're up there having fun and eating hamburgers and french fries and drinking a milkshake and having a lot of fun. And we said, oh God, forgive us. How wonderful you are and how we love you. Let me tell you something. Lovest thou God more than you love your house? Lovest thou God more than you lovest your job? Lovest thou Jesus more than you lovest your Sunday school class? Lovest thou Jesus more than you love this church? Lovest thou Jesus more than you love this preacher? Lovest thou Jesus more than you love what he's done for you? Lovest thou Jesus more than you love your Bible? Lovest thou Jesus more than you love your prayer life? Lovest thou Jesus more than you love your experience? Lovest thou Jesus more than you love your answered prayer? Lovest thou Jesus more than you love your college? Lovest thou Jesus more than you love your professors? Lovest thou Jesus more than you love your bus route? God is not talking here. Jesus is not talking about wicked things. He's talking about good things that he's given us. And I think with a heart full of a tear, maybe and a tear on his cheek, Jesus said, "Do you love me more than what I just gave you?" I guess of all the songs I quote the most, it's A.B. Simpson's, "Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. All in all is Jesus. Of Jesus will I sing. Everything is Jesus, and Jesus is everything. Strip yourself of everything but him. Thank him for his blessing while you love him. Thank him for the church while you love him. Thank him for your college while you love him. Thank him for your preacher while you love him. Thank him for answered prayer while you love him. But he is the preeminent one, not the prayers that he answered or the things he's given you, the blessings that you've enjoyed. Jesus said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Peter said, "I remember back yonder 3 years ago when this happened. I remember you came up, Jesus came up, and he said, 'Cast your nets over here,' and we did. And the nets broke because there were so many fish." And he said, "Thank God he did it again." And Peter looks at these fish, and he said, "We fished all night, didn't catch anything." By the way, who do you think counted those fish? I bet you Peter could have given us how much they weighed, some total, how much they weighed. Now, he's counting those fish. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. 140, 141, 142, 145, 146, 147, 148, 149, 150, 151. Jesus said, "Hey, Peter, 125, 126, 128. Hey, Peter, 127, 128, 129. Peter, 130, 131, 132, 133. Hey, Peter, 134, 135, 136. Peter, 137, 138, 139, 140, 141, 142. Peter, 143, 144, 145, 146. Hey, Peter, 147, 148, 149, 150. Hey, Peter, 151, 152, 153. Peter! Trying to get your attention. You love me more than you love these fish. I prayed for the power of God on my daddy's grave. That power came, and I said to myself, "This is what I wanted." And I went back to that grave again several weeks later, and I said, "No, this is not what I wanted." I said, "You're what I wanted. You're what I wanted." We're like the child we give a gift to, and he loves the box more than the gift. Let me tell you something. God's blessings to you are simply the gift wrapping. The gift is Jesus himself. Amen. Jesus said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" There's the third thing. Not only does answered prayer compete for our affection, not only does usefulness compete for our affection, but experiences compete for our affection. Jesus said, "Peter, James, and John, you come with me." They went up on the top of Mount Tabor, I think. May have been Mount Hermon, I think Mount Tabor. And there Jesus was transfigured before their eyes. And Moses and Elijah came to fellowship with him, what we call the transfiguration. And Peter said, "Hey, let's build 3 tabernacles. One for Moses, one for Elijah, one for Jesus." And Jesus, in so many words, said, "That's too many tabernacles." What an experience they had. They wanted to stay there. Hear me carefully. You know what hurt Jesus? Now, listen carefully. They wanted to stay there. You know why? Because there was more important than him. Was not he going to go back down to the foot of the mountain with them? Was not he going to be with them when they left the Mount of Transfiguration? Jesus is simply saying, "I want you to want me." And that's what he says to First Baptist Church of Hammond this morning. "I want you to want me. Lovest thou me more than Howells Anderson College? Lovest thou me more than Hammond Baptist Schools? Lovest thou me more than First Baptist Church? Lovest thou me more than 1,428 people saved in one Sunday? Lovest thou me more than the world's biggest bus route? Lovest thou me more than Brother Hiles? Lovest thou me more than God's blessing?" Jesus said, "I want you to enjoy the blessing, but I want you to love me. Lovest thou me more than these?" Pastor's school, Thursday night service was over. One of the great services this church has ever had. When it was all over, folks were fellowshipping. I was in my office. You know what I was doing? I was remembering a Wednesday night at Cedar Temple Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas, where Jackie Boy Hiles tried to preach his first sermon. And stuttered and stammered for 3 minutes. And told the people, "I'm sorry, I thought I could, but I don't know how. And I'm sorry.
And I sat down in failure, and the deacon chairman stood up and said, "Our pastor's gone. I don't know what to do. I thought the young man could preach, and I didn't know it'd be like this, and I'm sorry. I guess we'll just dismiss the service." While you were talking about how great the service was, and while you were fellowshipping after the service, I was in my office reliving that experience. Let me tell you something. I know where my bread's buttered. I love this church more than I could describe, but I don't love you like I love him. I had a church one time in Texas. I did not love it a percentage of what I love this church, but I loved it as much as I could as a young preacher. And I put it before Jesus. I know I did. And God took it away from me. And I promised God, no church, no denomination, no program, no ministry will ever rise above Jesus. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the folly of sin I resign. Peter, Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, lovest thou me more than these?" The miracle, the experience. I'm going to tell you something God told me the other day. It didn't speak to me audibly. He only does that to Oral Roberts. I'm going to tell you something he told me the other day. Just as real as if he'd spoken audibly. I was praying, and I was at my worship spot, and I was saying, "I love you. I love you." I said, "Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy all through these years. Thank you for your patience with me, and thank you for your blessings upon me." And then, almost as if he had spoken to me, he said, "Would you love me if I went broke?" I'd never thought of that in my life. And I said this to him. I think I mean it. I probably shouldn't say this. I said, "I'd love you if I found out you weren't really God." Sometimes I wish Russell Anderson could go broke. Not often. But I'm his friend. I'm Jack DeCoster's friend. I don't know two finer men in the world, Russ Anderson and Jack DeCoster. Sometimes I wish they could go broke so I could prove to them. Now personally, I have no wishes for anything financially. But I sometimes wish they could. You see, forgive me for putting it, but when I'm somebody's friend, I'm somebody's friend. I'm their friend if they're on top, and I'm their friend if they're on bottom. I'm their friend if they're flat, if they're wealthy, or if they're flat busted. I'm their friend if folks are cheering them, or I'm their friend if folks crucify. You got me for a friend. You stuck with me. I'm your friend if you treat me right. If I'm your friend, I'm your friend if you treat me wrong. If I'm your friend, I'm your friend if you love me, and I'm your friend if you hate me. I promised God 42 or 43 years ago on my knees in the woods of East Texas I'd be a friend of my friends, and I'm not going to run when my friends are in trouble. Not going to do it. Tell you a sweet little something. This week I was reading the story of the prodigal son again. This illustrates what I'm saying. Reading the story of the prodigal son. I got out of that part when he came home. I like that part. When I get to that part, I always want to tell the father right before he comes. I want to tell the father, "Hey, he's coming." He's coming. The Bible's so real to me. Sometimes I'll be reading the story of David when he's up on took a day off, and Bathsheba took a bath out there on the top of the house, you know, outside his window and the roof. And sometimes I want to say, "Hey, David, hey, don't look out that window. Hey, David, don't you do it." And David said, "Okay." But I was reading the story of the prodigal son. Now, hear me carefully. He said, "I'll rise and go to my father." The Bible says the father saw him when he was yet a great way off. And he ran and kissed him. And I decided to track that word down, that word kissed down. And you know it's not in the aorist tense that he kissed him once. The tense in the Greek there is that he kissed him and kissed him, 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 and kept on kissing him. And the truth is, the implication there in the Greek is, all the time they're having that party, he was kissing his son. He went, his son came back and he kissed him. And the son said, "Father, I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." And he kissed him. And he said, "Make me one of thy hired servants." And he kissed him. And he put a ring on his finger and he kissed him. And he put a robe on his back and he kissed him. And he put a pair of shoes on his feet and he kissed him. And he brought him home and kissed him all the way home. And he had a party and he kissed him. And they served a barbecue and he kissed him. And they served the Diet Coke and they kissed him. And the neighbors came and he kissed him. Every time a neighbor would come by and welcome him home, the father would kiss him. They would kiss him. And that father is a symbol of my heavenly father. And that's how much he wants you this morning. That's how much he wants you. He symbolizes his desire for you to come to him by that sweet, tender expression of the prodigal son's father kissed him and 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 kissed him. I ask you a question this morning. I can tell you about how much your love for Jesus is. Where are you after the victory? Hear me now. Follow me carefully. Hey, don't leave me now. Young couple. Young man. His wife is in labor. Thank God I'm a man. I tell you, man. Thank God I'm a man. And you better thank God I'm a man too, by the way. But anyway, here's a young fellow. His wife's in labor, and she's having a hard time. And he wonders if she's going to make it. And the doctor says she's got serious complications. And the young man gets on his knees alone in the hallway of the restroom or out in the woods and says, "Oh God, oh God. Heal my wife. Oh God, bring my baby up. Give us a normal baby. And oh God, take care of my wife." He comes back to the waiting room. He's pacing the floor and waiting. Of course, nowadays they go right into place, but we didn't used to do that. And he's, oh God, don't take my wife from me. And oh God, give us a normal baby." And the doctor comes out and a big grin's on his face and says, "Hey, Dad, Dad. I'm talking to you, Pop." "You." "What do you want to name your son?" "Son?" "Son?" "Or daughter?" They're all one or the other. When they're young, anyway, they change later on sometimes. But, and what does he do? He runs to the telephone, gets a bunch of change. Called everybody. Jesus said, "Lovest thou me more than these?" Where are you after the victory? Lovest thou me more than these? What are you doing? You don't need him now. You like the fella sliding off a roof. He said, "Oh Lord, save me." Seated with riches, caught on a nail. He said, "Never mind, Lord, I can make it." Lovest thou me more than these? There you are calling everybody. I'm going down to get some candy cigars, if you're right with God. Real ones, if you're not. Passing them out. Telling everybody, "Hey, it's a boy! Hey, it's a boy! Hey, it's a boy!" Jesus said, "I'd rather you say, 'Hey, it's a Savior.' Lovest thou me more than these?" One year, when pastor school was over, we've been having pastor school for several years. Our staff always meets before pastor school starts on Monday, and we have a tearful time and a testimony, and we're all tired by the time it starts because we all work so hard, and we have a tearful time and a time of testimony. But several years ago, it dawned on me, we ought to go back to the same place when it's all over. And now when pastor school's over and everybody's coming and going and the thing's over, our staff's on their knees in the chapel thanking God for his goodness. Lovest thou me more than these? Jesus said. Where are you after the victory? Huh? Where are you after the miracle? Where are you after God gives you the car? Where are you after the baby comes? Where are you after pastor school? Peter's back with Jesus now. And he sees him and he's there and they're having breakfast together. And Jesus has given him 153 fish and Peter's counting them and looking at him. And Jesus said, Peter, I'm glad that you have the fish and I'm glad I performed the miracle, but lovest thou me more than these? Ask you a question or two this morning. I'll close. Lovest thou Jesus more than you love your bus kids? Ask you a question. What did you do after the big day? 1,428 people got saved. Ask you a question. Lovest thou Jesus more than you love your wife? Listen to me. Huh? Oh, God's been good to me. He's given me a good wife. Why don't you go? Lovest thou me more than you love your husband? Probably you do. A lot more. Lovest thou me more than you love your church? Lovest thou me more than you love your Bible? Lovest thou me more than you love your answered prayer? Lovest thou me more than you love to be used of God? Lovest thou me more than your Sunday school class? Lovest thou me more than you love the choir? And the choir more than you love the music? Lovest thou me more than the youth program? Lovest thou me more than the Howells Anderson College? Lovest thou me more than First Baptist Church of Hammond? Huh? Huh? Now the simple truth is, the average one of us, we beg him and beg him and beg him and beg him, and he comes and he gives us what we need, and we spend so much time counting the sheep, counting the fish, we forget the fellow that performed the miracle. And that's what Jesus said. Lovest thou me? He said basically three things. I'll just give them to you. He's saying, lovest thou me more than what I do? Lovest thou me more than what I give? Lovest thou me more than what I have? What he's wanting to say is, love me because of who I am. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the folly of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior thou, if ever I loved you, my Jesus, is now. I love to preach. And I love it. The thought of living and not preaching is not living at all. I've got to fight it all the time. I love the preaching about the Savior than the Savior whom I preach. I love the second coming of Jesus Christ. I love to think about the rapture. When the laws of gravity are defied, we take off and shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour of prayer. This robe of flesh I'll drop and seize the everlasting prize and shout while passing through the air. I love the rapture. I love the second coming of Jesus Christ. But if I don't watch it, I'll love that more than I love the Jesus who's coming. I love this church. I've got to watch it all the time so Jesus gets more love than this church gets. I hear him say to Peter, and oh, how he loved Peter. He wouldn't have put up with Peter if he had loved him so much. He said, Peter, you got any meat? Peter said, nope, stranger, been fishing all night, haven't caught anything. Jesus said, Peter, cast your net over here. What do you know about fishing? I grew up on this lake. I made my living here before I followed a fellow named Jesus. Now he's dead. At least I know where he is. I decided to go back. I'm in the fishing business, stranger. What do you know about it? He knows a heap about it. He made the lake, never fish in there. He said, put it over here. Jesus said, hey, you wide mouth bass and you big crappie and hey, come on, you perch. Hey, come on over here. Come on over here. I want 153 of you who will volunteer. And 153 of them, they swim over there. Jesus said, I want you to have breakfast with me. Fish. And one of them turned back, went the other way. Peter put his net over there and 153 fish got in. Peter said, I know who that is. That stranger is the Lord. He did that once before when he saved me. That's the Lord. Now back to this fish. Look here. Hey, look here. Look here, Bob. See all these fish I caught? Hey, Mike. Hey, like that. Did you ever catch 153 one morning? Huh? Ever catch three one morning? Hey, Jeff. Okay, you're just a kid, man. You never see something like this, did you? Roy, you go fishing all the time. You never work a day in your life, and you never caught it. And Keith, you hold the all-time record for fish eating, and you never caught it. And Ray, there's something fishy about you. And you guys, I won't go over here, but look here. Jesus said, Peter. 140, 141, 142, Peter, 143, 144, 145, Peter, 146, 147, 140, Peter, 149, 150, 151, Peter, 152, 153, 153. What you want? Lovest thou me? For the beads. I want you to love me. I need your love. Lovest thou anything more than Jesus? Would you bow your heads, please?